Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to another edition of Locked On Kings. The free agency frenzy continues around the league, and today we're going to have a bunch of observations of things that have happened and try to make a few predictions on what might still happen with NBA free agency. The Kings are beginning their Summer League minicamp, so they're getting ready for the next chapter, at least Summer League getting going later in the week for the Kings, playing their first game on Friday, and then they play Sunday and Monday, and then the tournament in Vegas starts the week after. So good times coming up for basketball fans as far as Kings news, and I think the Kings Summer League team should be pretty good based on the roster they have put together, all the young players they've got playing, the rookies they drafted, and of course a lot of the young players from a year ago. So Summer League should be, for what it's worth, a lot of fun to check out the Sacramento Kings. But today on the podcast, like I said, want to get into what's going on with the NBA free agency and some observations I had, and I got about seven different ones. I'm going to start off with number one being the champs. And I got to say, I'm impressed by what the Golden State Warriors have done. And the reason being, I thought they were going to be in a position where they could be targeted a bit, where teams could go after some of the things that they had just by offering more money. Obviously, you knew they were going to re-sign Steph Curry, which they have already done that. And that part is a crazy deal, but well worth it for him and for the Warriors, where Curry agreed to the five-year, $201 million contract, making him the highest paid player in the NBA. They're still waiting on Kevin Durant. There's no fear of losing him. So they've already got Curry in the fold. Where I thought they could get poached, really, is Iguodala, Livingston, and even guys like David West. Well, West came in, he signed 1 year, 2.3, so a very favorable deal, showing that winning and that culture means more to these veterans than the payday. Now, the guy I thought was very likely a candidate to leave was Sean Livingston. And the Warriors did a good job of signing him quickly. I thought, if you look at what he got, 3 years, $24 million, I thought a team like Sacramento, who, if you've heard this podcast, was a team I thought could target him, go after him at two at 25, instead he got three at 24, you know, really overpay him. I say overpay him, but maybe two and 40, $20 million per year to get him away from there, get him your veteran point guard, a winner, a good locker room guy. But he wanted to return to the Warriors. They land him for 3 years, $24 million. Then the other one that most every team was flirting with, Kings included, Andre Iguodala, he got paid, got a good contract, and stayed with the team that he wanted to stay with. 3 years, $48 million. So I'm impressed with what the champs have done. They are going to be way over the luxury tax, but Joe Lacob, Peter Guber, not afraid to pay, so they'll be fine. And once they lock in Durant, no worries at all. But I've been impressed by the champs. Usually people try to take from them. They've lost assistant coaches the last couple of years, but so far they've kept their core players. The Warriors, obviously the favorite, and they'll stay the favorite. They will be just fine, barring any kind of major injuries to their four key players. But coming back with basically the same core roster, they are the team to beat. So number one observation was the champs. Champs stay looking like the champs, fully loaded, didn't really lose any key personnel. Number two, my next observation, star trades, right? This is something that has happened, and a lot more people have been moved than I would have ever expected. And it's been exciting. If you really go back to the NBA trade deadline, that's when it started, right? With the Sacramento Kings. And let's even go back to that. Remember when national people were absolutely ripping the Kings for what they got back in return. And I didn't love what they got back in return at the time for DeMarcus Cousins. So if you remember that, obviously it was Cousins. What'd they get in return? Tyreke Evans and his expiring contract. Langston Galloway and his potentially expiring contract, which he since has opted out. More on him in a moment. The rights to Buddy Hield, who came in and was a very productive King. A first-round pick and a second-round pick. Well, the first-round pick was number 10 overall. They've turned that into 15 and 20, which was Justin Jackson and Harry Giles. So that entire haul looks okay to me, a lot better than it did at the time. And remember, Cousins is coming into an expiring year ahead. So will he stay a member of the New Orleans Pelicans? Since then, think about the stars and the big names that have been traded. You had Brook Lopez, a former All-Star in Brooklyn, goes to the Lakers for Mozgov's healthy contract, and the key piece is D'Angelo Russell. Ricky Rubio was traded the other day from Minnesota, never been an All-Star, but still a high-profile player, for a pick. That's all. Chris Paul opts in to the final year of the Los Angeles Clippers, then dealt to the Rockets in exchange for Sam Decker, Lou Williams, and Pat Beverly. Draft night, Jimmy Butler was traded. A lot of people were critical of what the Bulls got in return, but Chris Dunn, still a young player, Zach LaVine coming up on a contract, and basically the pick swap. They didn't even get a pick. They swapped picks, 7 and 16. So they moved up and got Markkanen, but the Bulls still got a Minnesota still got a pick at gave up their pick, and the Bulls got theirs at 16. So it was still a pick swap as well. And then, most recently, Paul George, free agent to be next year, always been on the move. Oklahoma City slides in and gets him, not for a draft pick at all, Sabonis, a former first-round pick, and Victor Oladipo. So, one, I'm just amazed at the amount of high-level players that have been on the move, and two, what has been able to come back in return. And, you know, the Kings got two picks for Cousins. I know one's a second-rounder, and remember, the better deal 2 days ago was another first-rounder. The Lakers in Brooklyn, no picks exchanged. Rubio was one pick. Chris Paul's deal, I think a future first. Jimmy Butler, they swapped the picks this year. Paul George, no picks. And then the existing players. So I think, one, the deals seem to be getting worse, and the Kings should feel better about what they got in return for DeMarcus Cousins. All right, third observation. This one's labeled Going West. The Western Conference has been labeled the better conference for years. I think the Eastern Conference top eight has gotten better over time. But if you just look at what has happened in free agency or the trades, guys are coming to the Western Conference, the loaded conference. We already mentioned Paul George. Well, he leaves the East. He was an eight seed. He goes and joins Russell Westbrook with Oklahoma City. You got Jimmy Butler leaving Chicago, going to a talented and young Minnesota Timberwolves team that people felt was a trendy team that could get in the top eight a year ago. Didn't make it then, but now maybe with the addition of Butler and everything else they've added in Teague, another guy going from the East to the West, could that be a team that makes the jump? How about Paul Millsap? He's been an Eastern Conference All-Star for Atlanta. He leaves the Hawks, and he goes to the Denver Nuggets on a three-year, $90 million deal. So some high-profile guys from the East moving to the Western Conference, and the better conference continues to add its stud players. And the one other note on Millsap leaving Atlanta, saw that post over the weekend, which was really crazy. That, remember that about 2 or 3 years ago when Atlanta had their entire starting five named NBA Player of the Month? So when they gave it to Horford, Millsap, Korver, Damari Carroll, and Jeff Teague, well, this now, all that five, all of them are no longer Hawks. Carroll with the Raptors, Horford's in Boston. Millsap signs the deal in Denver. Teague goes to Minnesota. And then Kyle Korver was moved to Cleveland, and he since has signed a contract with the Cavaliers as well. So this stuff moves. It's very fluid. It changes quickly. But the guys going west, it's getting very, very impressive, that list. All right, number four on my list of observations that I'm seeing here, I'm labeling this, who will have money in the future? Bobby Marks, who we've had on this podcast before, is a cap expert for Yahoo and The Vertical. He has talked about how many teams, nearly half or over half, I think he stated, will be over and into the luxury tax in 2018. That also leads to another scenario for the Sacramento Kings, maybe to be savers or teams that don't jump all in on all their salaries so they can be aggressive in next year's free agent period when there's some pretty good names out there. But the amount of teams that are willing to go into the luxury tax, like we already addressed the Warriors, that they're in a different scenario where they're likely going to be contending for a championship again. But the amount of other teams that probably aren't, you know, Portland is up there as far as high salary cap teams. You don't expect them to compete for the championship. They're going to try, but I wouldn't pick them to be there. And other teams like that that are so far above the salary cap that they're paying luxury tax, sometimes you got to be financially responsible too. There's all for being aggressive, but you want to be financially responsible. So a little amazing to me how many teams will be luxury cap teams, luxury tax teams, come the summer of 2018. All right, next one I labeled number five here. Some deals are better than others. And if you just look across the board at some of these free agent signings that have happened, you could just look at it and pick apart some contracts. And a lot of times I look for the lesser names and to see where they landed and how much they were paid. Here's a couple of examples. I think Patty Mills is a good young player. Not the best player, but a good young player. Free agent point guard. I thought he might get a lot more money. I was interested in the Kings maybe attempting to go after him. San Antonio gets him for a very reasonable and sound contract. 4 years, $50 million. Now, I know we're all, you know, none of us that make that kind of money can relate to any of this. But in the NBA equivalent, that is a solid deal. 12.5 per. Nice for a guy like Patty Mills that they hope to be a part of their future. Taj Gibson, an NBA veteran. He's also another guy coming to the Western Conference. Well, he was in OKC, but before that, he spent his entire career in Chicago. Kings had mentioned a meeting with him, but he lands in Minnesota. 2 years, $28 million. So the length of contract's nice. $28 million, they're going to pay him a good contract, 14 per, but not outlandish to be a nice veteran piece for that young Minnesota Timberwolves team. And again, he's in that window for 2 years. Obviously reunited with Tibbs, someone Thibodeau feels comfortable with, and a nice signing for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Another way to do this, this is a team that has money, a guy that is willing to take money, and they're going to do it on a one-year deal. I like the deal of J.J. Redick going to Philadelphia. 1 year, $23 million. I don't think he's worth that, but you're doing it for a year. He's going to get a big payday. He'll reevaluate his situation after this season. Sixers will do the same, but they're not locked into anything long-term. 1 year, $23 million for J.J. Redick. I like that deal for Philadelphia. One that I didn't like as much was the one I referenced earlier about Kyle Korver. Korver, who I think is a nice piece for Cleveland, but to get in with him for three more years at $22 million, the amount of dollars isn't crazy, but this is a team that's kind of hamstrung by salaries, and to lock in Korver for 3 years, I don't absolutely love it. I don't think it's the worst deal, but I don't love it for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Okay, the next one I've labeled Rudy's market, and that is, what is the market for Rudy Gay? Obviously, Rudy is unsigned at this moment, recording of this podcast, but Rudy is a guy that every time I mention him for the Sacramento Kings, I get, that's the most negative comments I get from you guys. They just, you guys aren't fans of Rudy, and maybe I am trying to sell him to you, but what is his market? Keep an eye on him, because let's think about what has been mentioned about Rudy Gay over the last couple of days. If the Warriors weren't able to land Andre Iguodala, a secondary player they were looking at was Rudy Gay. Well, they've landed Andre Iguodala. Oklahoma City has been a team interested in Rudy Gay and has met with Rudy Gay. They are looking at, and they got Paul George. Could they still get Rudy Gay? Sure. Miami is another team that's been interested in Rudy Gay. Well, Rudy Gay and Miami, we got to wait and see what Gordon Hayward does. Again, pending the timing of this podcast, but if Gordon Hayward signs with Miami, that market dries out a little bit. Could Boston be interested in Rudy Gay? You kind of have to follow the dominoes, but I know the Kings still have some interest in Rudy, and if all these other things dry out, would you guys as Kings fans, now if I kind of go back to that J.J. Redick deal, 1 year, 20-something million for Rudy, I personally would do it. I still think this team's biggest weakness, as we speak, is a professional starting power forward. Not on the roster right now. I don't see it right now. We know they've offered the max deal to Otto Porter. They're all in there. But we got to look at some potential targets, and we'll discuss that in just a moment. But just keep your eye on Rudy Gay and that market and where he will land. I think there are plenty of teams interested in him, and I still think Sacramento should be one of them. All right, number seven, the now ex-Kings. So a couple of guys, no longer members of the Sacramento Kings, have new deals. And a couple of interesting ones. Langston Galloway, personally, I thought was a little bit foolish financially to opt out of his Kings deal. He wasn't. He did the right thing. He opted out and got a nice deal. 3 years, $21 million with the Detroit Pistons. Good pro, good veteran. Actually, still kind of a young veteran. And Detroit liked him, wants that stability. 3 years, 21, gets seven per. Good for Langston Galloway. Ben McLemore, the Kings did like him. I just don't think they wanted to re-sign him based on all the two guards they had. And Ben, being so young and a lottery pick, that market wasn't really fantastic. We heard that Milwaukee and a few other teams were interested in Ben. But 2 years, 10.7, a smaller contract for Ben McLemore. But we'll see what he does in Memphis as a new member of the Grizzlies. So the now ex-Kings finding homes out there. All right, the last part we're going to discuss here, number 8, where the Kings are now. Again, as we record this podcast, the Kings have not landed a free agent as of yet. We know they have talked to several people. Andre Iguodala, they were interested in P.J. Tucker. He signed with the Rockets. Plenty of people that have already been signed to deals the Sacramento Kings have been interested in, but they have moved on. And, you know, you can only do so much of what you might be interested in. There were some rumors about Paul Millsap. Well, he got that deal with Denver, so I'm glad the Kings kind of didn't land there. Taj Gibson, we mentioned him earlier, was another one the Sacramento Kings were reportedly interested in. He has already signed a deal with the Minnesota Timberwolves. So some of the other guys that are still out there that the Kings either on their radar or might still be interested in, but the first one is Otto Porter. And so here's my opinion on Otto Porter. I do like him. I don't love the max contract. I don't love it for him. I think he's a good young player. I don't know if he's going to be a great young player. I feel like if you max a guy out, he needs to be either an all-star or you know he's going to be one. I don't know that Otto Porter will be one. I think I'd like him on the Kings. I don't like him at that price. I do like that Brooklyn's interested. I do like all reports are that Washington would match. I like the Kings' aggressiveness. But you know what I would have done? Again, this is me not blaming the Kings front office at all. I would have made it very public that I went in on a max contract for Gordon Hayward. Even if you thought there was 0% chance of signing him, that to me looks better than a max offer for Otto Porter. Gordon Hayward's been an all-star. He's one of the key free agents still out there. Throw your name in the hat. Say the Sacramento Kings are going to make a max contract offer to Gordon Hayward. Doesn't hurt you at all if he makes a visit. And if he says no, kind of like they were interested in Iguodala. I thought there was no chance he was coming, but you got to show your interest. And so that's what I would have done. But the Otto Porter part, if he does sign, you welcome him in. You bring him on as a 3-and-D guy. There's your starting small forward. And you go from there. He's still very young. And then you say, you are a part of our future for sure. We're going to grow with you. Now, if that is not something that's materialized, to me, that is still the position of need, the most need, the small forward position. So I would really look at Danilo Gallinari. I'd expressed I would pay money to sign him. Other potential candidates, I mentioned Rudy Gay, but at that small forward position, I know they've talked to Patrick Patterson, ex-King, another good professional that you could sign for far less. Andre Roberson is a restricted free agent in OKC, but if Rudy Gay ends up there or some other things happen where he becomes available, I would target a guy like him. Not a great offensive player, but a good defensive player, rebounder, and a guy that's still pretty young in this league but has played some big games for sure. I also would look at Bobby Simmons, who is someone they have targeted and looked at in San Antonio. That's someone that would be on my radar, too, if I were the Sacramento Kings, and another veteran, C.J. Miles. So between Porter, Gallinari, Roberson, Patterson, Simmons, Rudy Gay, C.J. Miles, I think one of those guys needs to end up as a Sacramento King because I do not think they have a starting small forward. And one of them could be it. And you're looking at different levels. If it's Porter, you're paying him to be your starter. Gallinari, you're paying him to be your starter. Rudy Gay could be a one-year type starter. Those other guys, you're looking at filling more roles in veteran leadership of Roberson, Patterson, C.J. Miles. Maybe Simmons would be that other younger piece, but I don't think you have to pay as much as you do for a guy like Otto Porter or Gallinari. So different levels and tiers of free agency at that small forward, but I still maintain that is the number one thing of need for the Sacramento Kings. Then I know still people are talking about point guard need. I think the Kings should look at it and address it, but you know now we're talking about guys like Rondo, you know, other guys that they still have had before, certainly like Darren Collison and Ty Lawson, George Hill. I think those are kind of the main components you're looking at point guard, and I still maintain that that shouldn't be the number one priority. I'm comfortable with going into the season with Fox and Mason, and then Garrett Temple can play some point, and he's a veteran, and he could teach these guys. Some other things the Kings may be looking at that you've heard, Zach Randolph, more of the power forward. Vince Carter, I got a couple of tweets about that. At 40 years of age, I'm not anti-Vince Carter. I think that's the one that would fit in on maybe a one-year deal, short-term, based on his age. But also, if Dave Yeager is interested in him, that also means something to me because he coached him, and if he wants to bring a guy like that in, I'd be all for it. So It's been interesting so far. I know it feels like the Kings haven't been active, but they have behind the scenes, certainly, and ultimately got to wait and see where it all ends up. There's still some big fish to be had out there, and either other players that could still make your team better if it's done right. So Kings are in a good position. I don't think they have to go in all crazy, but let's see what they ultimately do here. And, you know, hopefully they spend their money very, very wisely. So I hope everybody has a great 4th of July. Thanks so much for listening to another edition of Locked On Kings. If there was news that broke in between when we recorded this, obviously we'll hit you back up with our Wednesday edition. So thank you so much for listening. Have a great 4th, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow in another edition of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Somewhere deep inside your mind, there's a place where dreams live. And now those dreams have the chance to come to life because USAA Life Insurance is sponsoring the Live Your Dreams sweepstakes, where you could win $50,000. That's $50,000 to let those dreams out of your head and into your hands. Enter for a chance to win and view official rules at www.usaa.com/lifesweeps or call 1-800-531-LIFE.
No purchase necessary. USAA Life Insurance Company, San Antonio, Texas, and in New York, by USAA Life Insurance Company in New York, Highland Falls, New York.